a dynamic company is understanding that how do you keep your values and the behaviors that your values dictate, because you will dictate your behaviors that you, you know, that is what values are. Values are the behaviors that you will encourage and or allow. Mm-hmm. And then how do those stay the same? So your culture is that way, positive, inclusive, whatever, but recognizing how conditions change.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Interrupt, where we talk about interrupting the status quo. Whether you are a leader looking to enhance your leadership abilities or you're looking to step into leadership, this is the right place for you. My name is Linda Yates. I'm your host. I'm also known as the Image Energizer. Today, I'm visiting with Lee Caraher, and we're talking about creating inclusive, dynamic work environments. Listen in. Welcome to Interrupt, where we talk about interrupting the status quo. My name is Linda Yates. I'm your host. I'm also known as the Image Energizer. Today, I couldn't be more excited to have Lee Caraher with me today. Lee, thank you so much for joining me.
I'm so happy to be on your podcast, Linda. Thank you for asking.
It has been a minute. For those of you that don't remember, Lee was actually, I think, my first episode.
Oh, really?
Interrupt.
Oh, my gosh. I'm
yeah. And we are that. Working. We are getting close to 200 episodes. So
wow.
Yeah. So you all want to go back and you want to check out that first episode because it was phenomenal. So Lee, thank you again for coming back.
I love it. Thanks.
All right. I've got on here that we're going to talk about creating inclusive, dynamic work environments.
Oh, my
and
goodness. Yeah.
Lee is the expert on this. Let me tell you y'all, a little bit about Lee. Lee Caraher is the CEO of Double Forte, which is a widely acclaimed communication strategist. She is a communication strategist. Her firm is phenomenal too, so you want to check out her firm. But she is known for her practical solutions to big problems. She's also known as the Team Whisperer for her practical approach to building great, positive, high-producing work teams. She's the author of Millennials in Management. Y'all check it out. It's a phenomenal book. I have it right on my shelf. And it's based on her experience with failing and then succeeding at retaining millennials and the boomerang principle about building lifetime employee loyalty, which is still really critical.
Yes.
And even more so probably now than it was
yes.
a couple of years ago when you wrote
I
that
agree.
Book.
Yeah, I know. I probably should just update it, right?
Yeah, I know. Oh, well, Lee, I'm really, really stoked to have you on the show. So I've given you everyone kind of like this professional highlight background, but would you share with all of our listeners and viewers, especially those that haven't had an opportunity to hear you before, kind of what your leadership journey, what your professional journey has been?
Sure. Gosh, it's been a minute. That's for sure. I've been in the field of public relations and strategic communications my whole career, which is pretty unusual, particularly now. If you're under 40, you don't expect to be in the same career for the whole time. But I fell into it because my friend Ramona thought I should look into it. I'm like, yeah, that looks good. Literally. And got into it right after college and then have just progressed in the field in many different kinds of positions and companies over the time. In terms of leadership, really, when I moved from agency into being the vice president of communications at Sega of America, the video game company, I grew from a team. Ultimately there, I had a team of over 500 people. And then from there, I moved to Weber Shandwick, which is probably still the largest public relations communications firm in the world, where I started two companies for them and had a team of 650-700 with 13 offices. Mm-hmm. And then after 9/11, for a lot of reasons I will not go into, I quit my job and was going to go back into a job like the one I'd had at Sega. But my mother got sick and I just knew I had to be with my mom, who was 2,000 miles away. And at that time, back in the day, you could not work remotely. Mm-hmm. I lived in California. They lived in Wisconsin. And I decided, oh, I need a life that lets me be where I want to be. So I started my own company, Double Forte, in 2002 because I needed to. Mm-hmm. And since then, still doing it. Created my own rules, though, because I really didn't like being an agency when I left Weber Shandwick. So I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have rules that I like and that make me get out of bed every morning. So we're still at it 22 years later.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. You have such an amazing background and team. And talk about interruptions that came, you know, pivot and the shifts and the switches.
So many. Yeah. Well, in 2000, so we started the company in 2002. So we started our firm before Twitter. Okay, just remember, if you think about from a public relations standpoint, before really social media was a thing. So from a pivot perspective, how we communicate is the number one thing that has changed in our culture the most in the last 22 years. You know, when I started my career, we were sending memos by FedEx, and that was, you know, that was fast. Usually you put them in the mail, or if you needed a courier, people don't even know what couriers are anymore unless you live in New York City. So you would send things by FedEx to get it to the floor down from you, literally. So it would, you could guarantee it was there the next day. And then the fax. Oh my God, the fax. So now, you know, there's no less than 8 ways to get to every person. And so if you think about the function of communication, which is to convey a thought from one person to another, or one person to a few, or one person to many, and then back again, just it's changed completely during my career at Double Forte. And so we have changed our company, not the function, but how we do things so many times. And with that is also the change in how we build a culture, because communication is culture. Communication is leadership. You cannot have a culture without communication. That's not true. You can have a crappy one, but you can't have a good one without great communication. And you can't lead without communication. You can't get, you know, if you have a great idea, uncommunicated, does not matter. So within the company, how we've evolved as a company in terms of how we communicate with our people, and then with our clients, and then with for our clients, helping them do the transition to be able to communicate with their own people, and then all the people that matter to their success, I mean, has changed dramatically over the time.
That's phenomenal.
I mean, just the work, right?
Right.
In terms of the people, you know, when I started the company, we only hired people with 10 years of experience, because this is right out of the 2001 meltdown. And I was in San Francisco, couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting 10 years with people with 10 years of experience. And frankly, I was tired of working with Gen Xers. But then after 2008, we started in that meltdown, I realized there was going to be a donut hole of people with 10 years of experience. And if you should always bring people in the bottom, meaning the least experience of your whatever your thing, I was like, oh, we have to hire entry-level people again. Well, I didn't think this would be an issue given my last two experiences having so many people, and most of them were under 30, but it was a big issue. And I almost deep-sixed the company. And from that experience, I figured out how to work with millennials, because everything I read was so negative. I was like, it can't be true. It just can't be true.
Right.
And then that's changed again with Gen Z. And that's changed again with the pandemic. And it's just, you know, you always have to be evolving as a leader to understand where you are in the world, where your company is in the world, and where your people are in the world vis-a-vis what's going on around them. And if you're not constantly evolving that and learning what's relevant and what's new, it doesn't matter. You will fail.
That's some great insight and feedback, and oh, so true. In fact, I got thinking about it. We actually met I met a colleague, one of your colleagues, through Twitter.
Oh, Liz O'Donnell. Right.
That's how I met her. And then she made the introduction to you. And that was probably roughly 8, maybe 9 years ago. It's been a while. So yeah. And it was through Twitter, and I'm not even on Twitter that much anymore. I was thinking about that. I'm like, well, maybe I should go back to my Twitter and check that out. That is so interesting. So what is exactly an inclusive dynamic work environment?
Yeah, well, there's so much conversation. And really, after the George Floyd murder in 2020, you know, there was a huge rush to DE&I. And there's been a huge backlash on that in the last 12 months, particularly in some states, and in corporations who have followed the states. I think it's a mistake, though, because basically all of the, you know, that George Floyd moment was basically the trigger point for all the work that's been happening in the previous 50 years. I mean, let's think about women couldn't get their own credit cards until 1975, whatever. I mean, this is waking up, right? And then the George Floyd moment really pushed it over because it was also during the pandemic and, you know, pushed it way over, which is great. And then there's been some backlash in certain states. However, the number, what we know is that you can look at diversity and inclusion many different ways, right? So inclusion is so that everyone who's in your firm, in your company, feels like they belong there, right? They belong and they're not a token and they belong and they contribute and they matter. And you can look at this across many different axes, women, men, older, younger, different generations. You know, right now, most of our companies have at least four generations in them, boomers, Xers, millennials, and Z. You could look at it from first generation immigrants, first generation college graduates, and then across color, and then sexual identity, and then there's everything else, right? There's so many ways to do that. And so, and what we know is that when people feel they belong, their productivity goes up. If they're a great, if they're already a high performer, it will go up. If they're a low performer, it will go up. It still may not reach your high performer goal, but it will go up. If people feel they belong and that they can contribute and that they are valued, then their performance will go up. So from my perspective, having an inclusive dynamic, and I'll talk about dynamic in a sense, culture is a bottom line thing. It is not about, I mean, if you really wanted to get brass tacks about it, it has nothing to do with feeling good. Now, I don't believe that, but it does, I mean, we know the numbers don't lie, right?
Right.
So there is a business case for it. The other business case for it is that we're not, you know, the America, old white men are no longer majority in business. White women aren't the majority in business and are, that's only going to increase, right? So if you've read any of, I mean, there's so much data on this. Pew Research has data on this. Institute for the Future has data on this. Peter Zion, who I just really enjoy reading, his last book was End of the World Is Just Beginning, which is really about the deglobalization. He just talks about just the numbers. The numbers are that A, our population is dropping, and B, our population is increasingly more diverse across all those axes I just talked to you about. So if you have a company and you're monolithic, you don't have much of a future, right? So period. I mean, and I'm talking long term. So one is just that understanding. One, everyone needs to belong. And if everyone feels they belong, then they will produce. And they'll bring new people in who will also produce. And if you don't have a belonging culture where people can contribute, you are fighting against the wave. You are fighting against, you're pushing a ball like Sisyphus up the hill. And it's just very, very inefficient, which means you're losing profit. I mean, just take it back into the numbers. Dynamic is sort of is about recognizing that it is constantly changing. So the culture, your culture doesn't want to call, you know, you want to have the same values over time. Those values stay, but what they mean might change. So just think about people working from home. So before pandemic, we had three offices. I was between all three of them. Most people were in the office probably 4 days a week, sometimes 3 days a week, but they were at other places or they traveled in between. And now we are fully virtual because everyone dispersed during the pandemic and I can't get them back in one place. And I don't care to get them back in one place as long as the work is good. So the values didn't change. We're still a team. We still do great work. Our service did it all, but the conditions changed. So being a dynamic company is understanding that how do you keep your values and the behaviors that your values dictate, because you will dictate your behaviors that you, you know, that is what values are. Values are the behaviors that you will encourage and or allow. And then how do those stay the same? So your culture is that way, positive, inclusive, whatever, but recognizing how conditions change. So that's the dynamic part, right? Is understanding, oh, Gen Z is different than the millennials, which is different than ZX, which is different than boomers, which is different. And when you understand all the different conditions, then you're able to create a company where people can see themselves in for a long time. And if people can see themselves in an entity for a long time, you are on the right track. Because keeping people, keeping good people with high performers who are contribute and are not toxic A's, because there are no such things, out of your company, if you can keep those people in and growing, they have to grow, obviously, because mm-hmm. dynamic means it's growing, mm-hmm. then you are ahead of the game. It's more efficient and it has a big impact on the health of your business and the health of your people.
You know, those two words are pretty phenomenal in the impact, and we can easily say them, but there's a lot of work that goes behind
so
that,
much
right?
work. Yeah. Well, so, it's messy work too, right? It's really messy work.
Sure. And if it's always changing in that dynamic, yeah, mm-hmm. it definitely is. So when have you felt like you've experienced this inclusive dynamic work environment besides your firm or even within your firm?
Well, you know, I would say, you know, so we have, you know, diversity has always been an issue, a top of mind issue since I started the company, but it never really mattered to many other people. Mm-hmm. But it really started mattering in 2020, which was great. So we have a committee that a task force that is active. We put over 250 hours into this every year. Mm-hmm. And now as other companies are pulling back, we are like pushing forward. Mm-hmm. And we have a small firm, you know, it's teeny weeny. So there's 15 of us full time and then another, I don't know, 8 or 9 that are half time. So it's not very many people, but it's still a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I would say the one thing that I just want to share, we did an inclusive language guide this year, mm-hmm. one of the hardest things I've ever done. I thought this would be so simple. We would just take whatever the standard is, other people mm-hmm. who have done this work, and we would just like, yeah, looks good. Oh my gosh, so hard for me. I realized because of my age and how I came into the workplace, you know, mid late 80s, you know, we mm-hmm. women were just fighting for a place at the table. That dynamic,
right.
many places hasn't changed, but in many places it has changed. It's a whole different conversation. And we had to adapt our language to the male dominated culture. So it's so mm-hmm. full of sports. It's so full of things that we don't even know the background of, like, you know, redlining and grandfathering and mm-hmm. The 4th-and-1 and get it on the field and hit it out of the park, you know, all these things. And I have a gay employee who used to go, "Go sports," every time I had a sports reference, because he didn't know. And I didn't realize it was a joke. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a joke. He was telling mm-hmm. me that he didn't get what I was saying. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I burst into tears earlier this year working on this thing, because it was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea I was being exclusionary.
All right. We're going to take a break from Visiting with Lee. We'll be back in just a minute. As you're striving to climb the corporate ladder, it's imperative that you take your education into your own hands. This is why I recommend continual training and personal development from TSC training programs. Their expert trainers can help you improve your sales skills, your mindset, and your leadership skills. Programs are delivered remotely and can accommodate for individuals or team training. If you want to interrupt the status quo, I highly recommend you invest in yourself and improve your skills. Find out more about TSC training programs at thesalesevangelist.com/training. Welcome back, everyone. I'm visiting with Lee Caraher on creating inclusive, dynamic work environments.
None. Uh-huh. Here I am trying to create this great belonging culture, mm-hmm. and part of my language, what just comes out of my mouth, is automatically exclusionary. So it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sharing with everybody how much of a challenge it has been for me has been, one, not humiliating, but humbling, mm-hmm. humbling for sure. And then letting people see that it's not simple.
Right.
It's not simple has also been very helpful. I mean, I think there, and then to your earlier question, Linda, about, you know, are there firms that I think do a good job on this? I mean, I think there are a lot of firms that do a good job on this. And I think there are a lot of firms, a lot of companies that just pay lip service to it. Mm-hmm. We have a client, Torani, the flavor company that you see in your coffee or Italian sodas. I think they did a great job on this. They have 35 different countries, people from 35 different countries in their company. It's just part of their DNA. Mm-hmm. And they work really hard at it, but no one gets it right all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's a process too, I guess.
It's a process. Yeah. You have to choose to do it though, right?
Right. Right. And be consciously, yeah, we're going to walk down this path and this is what we need. So for that leader that is hearing this and it's like, or even someone looking to step into leadership and like, mm-hmm. wow, our environment's not that.
Right.
The leader is like, well, how do I do that? What would be 3 tips that mm-hmm. you would give to that individual?
think the first piece is to audit. We do an annual, and it's one of the things that DE&I experts, you know, suggest is do an audit every year that's blind and ask people, do they feel, you know, they're, and there's lots of different examples of this kind of work, but do an audit. How do people, A, understand why your company exists? Let's start at the top. Do they understand why your company exists? Do they agree with the values of the company? Do they think that the behaviors of the company match the values of the company? Do they understand their own role in the company? That's part A. So you want to get a temperature on how that person shows up in the company in general. Part B is, do you feel valued? Do you feel listened to? Do you feel your ideas are, do you feel your development matters? Do you ever feel like you're marginalized? You know, ask these questions, and it needs to be blind. And see where you are, because once you see where you are, you'll know where to start from, right? So that's one piece. Then two, you know, it's all about whoever's coaching, managing, right? People leave companies because they're toxic, but the reason they're toxic is because of behavior. So, you know, are you checking in on your people? Are they, do you understand what your people want to achieve? Do you understand where, you know, where their performance is versus where, their performance is versus where their feelings are. And those are two different things, right? But feelings matter, because feelings get in the way of production, right? So, I mean, it's a conversation, not a form, right? I mean, it feels really messy, and people are messy, but that doesn't mean it's not easy. It's not a simple concept that you can then apply. So that'd be the second thing I would do. And then three is, you know, you can chart out, you know, once you have this survey done, share it. This is where we are. And you could be happy about it, or you could be, this is, we have a long way to go, people. And and put together the task force. It can't just be HR people, can't just be leaders, you know, who are going to prioritize how to get from point A to point B. A lot of it is around communication and values. Just a lot of it is around communication and values. So, but if you don't dig in, you can't address it. You know, if you look around the room and everyone looks like you,
that's telling you.
That's sort of telling, right? Sort of telling. And it's a challenge, right? It's definitely a challenge. But I can tell you that one thing we did was to recruit differently. So we learned how to recruit to remove bias, which we didn't even think we had, right? We didn't think we had bias. But by definition, if you don't think you have bias, you have bias. I'm just going to say, just sort of think, if you think you're a thought leader, you're not a thought leader. Other people can call you a thought leader. Don't call yourself one. So if you think you don't have bias, you do. All right. So, but there's great ways to learn how to be an unbiased recruiter. And that goes from everything from how do you structure the job description and the job post to where do you post the job? So it goes into multiple different places, seeking different kinds of people to looking at the qualifications for the job and rethinking all that. And when we did that, the people we hired, I always thought we were great. Just saying it. We're a great firm. We have 22 years. You know, we have an average client engagement of over like 8.5 years now or something, which is outstanding. Our people stay with us. Even when we were like dying, our people were staying with us longer than most. So we were already outperforming. But when we did that, when we looked at how to unbias our recruiting, we got much more qualified talent pools and much, I mean, incredibly much. And it's more diverse. Wow, we didn't choose for diversity. We chose a unbiased recruiting program, and that yielded diversity. So, which is important to think about. Like when you choose an unbiased, sort of like how musicians are chosen, right? So my son is a professional musician. And when you're a professional musician, they go to orchestra or band auditions. The judges are behind a wall, so they can't see who's playing.
Okay.
Wow. Right? So that they do that automatically. They can't see who's playing. So they're only listening. They're not looking. So when you do that from a recruiting perspective, I can tell you from our experience that you'll get a better result, and it will probably be more diverse because the numbers are in that favor, right? The numbers are in the favor of diversity, period.
Right. Right. Wow. Very fascinating. That is really, really fascinating. So How do you lead, though, through a dysfunctional environment? What would you say to that individual that's like?
if you're the leader in a dysfunctional environment, well, was it you? Did you create the dysfunction? Okay. Well, I think there's a couple things, right? People, and I've seen this a lot. I've helped a lot of clients with this through from a communications perspective. And then it becomes more of a, I guess, a coaching situation around communication, right? Because mm-hmm. it is about communication. So think about the values. If your values, but then your behaviors don't match your values, mm-hmm. the leader defines what behavior is tolerated. And the mm-hmm. worst behavior is what defines your culture, right? Mm-hmm. So if your value is excellence, which is a terrible value, because what the hell does that mean? But you allow your favored person to put out crappy work, mm-hmm. you don't have a value of excellence. You have a value of favoritism to that person. So, really, I would say start with defining your values that are real, right? Mm-hmm. And actually a good book on this is The Advantage from Pat Lencioni. And he does a great job explaining this. If you wanted a book to read on this, it's great. Mm-hmm. You cannot define your values by yourself unless you're a party of one. Mm-hmm. You need to define your values as a group, and the leader has, veto power or influence, but mm-hmm. your people should be able to tell you, a good value some people talk about is everyone picks up the trash, right? Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean everyone picks up the trash. What that means mm-hmm. is if you see trash, you pick it up and you don't worry. You don't call Joe because Joe's picking up trash, right? If you see, that's a value that many companies have, many companies don't, but it is a divider. Like some mm-hmm. people like this, I don't want that. I worked really hard to get out of picking up the trash. I don't want that mm-hmm. to be something mm-hmm. that I ascribe to. So I'm going to tap out of this company. That's perfectly fine. But mm-hmm. if you don't collectively assign behaviors, positive behaviors to those values, you don't have a choice. You don't have a chance. Mm-hmm. So I would first start with assemble a group who's going to look at the values. Mm-hmm. And put those, and then define the behaviors around those values, not just the words. You always see the words on the wall. Inclusivity. Now, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Tell me what that means, right?
And that's good.
Specific behaviors. So for us, one of our first value is we are a team. Mm-hmm. So one of our behaviors is we never go alone. We don't go mm-hmm. to a client alone. We go to new business mm-hmm. alone. We try mm-hmm. not to go alone. It's a little harder in now that we're all virtual, but in uh-huh. general, we try not to go alone because we're better as a team. A next behavior is we don't let anybody down. Mm-hmm. You don't leave anybody hanging. If you're a mm-hmm. team, you don't leave anybody hanging. Sort of like being on a soccer field and you're out there, you're ready to hit the goal, but the ball doesn't come to you. Like, I'm right here. don't leave me hanging, right? So we don't leave people hanging. So that has a whole set of behaviors around. We let people know when we're not available. We let people know when our deadlines seem to change. We mm-hmm. let people know when priorities or something happened. So there's, we know a lot about each other's lives not because we want to, it's because how are we going to get the work done? So we don't let anybody mm-hmm. alone. So those behaviors, which will be endemic to your own company, that's where you start. Mm-hmm. And that's then great. You just have to get on the journey. Mm-hmm. Not simple.
And that's simple. And I love the fact that the underlying aspect of it is all communication, which
all communication
throughout this. Yeah, that's great.
All communication. It's this communication. It's the core of everything. And the clearer you can be, and this is a problem for everybody. No, everyone, particularly leaders. Like I've already said it. I don't need to say it again. Oh my God. If you say it again and again and again and say it until people are filling in your story, say it until they're rolling your eyes at you. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they're rolling, another way to I was just, we were just media training a client. And when we media trained, it's like getting people ready for interviews with the media, mm-hmm. right? And many, 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 many reporters end an interview. Well, is there anything else you want to say? Mm-hmm. And the biggest mistake you can make is say, nope, you got it all. No, right. I never say that. Always say the most important thing about our mm-hmm. conversation is this, this, and this. Or the news today is A, B, and C. Or what I really want you to understand is B, D, E, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just to drive it home. Mm-hmm. And then we have a client send an email with the same information. We just repeat yourself, repeat yourself, repeat yourself. Because you cannot count on one delivery of a message to deliver your message.
So as we get ready to wrap this up, I just have a couple more questions for you. What keeps you motivated, Lee?
You know, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. Personally, you know, I think I'm here to help great people do great things. That's what I feel like I'm here for. And we've structured the company that way. We only help good companies and good people. And I'm motivated by that. I'm motivated by helping someone else achieve, helps me achieve. And the best day is when I get an email from somebody about somebody else on my team who did a great job. Like they're raising people up. Yeah.
That's awesome. And then, you know, we ask everyone this question, since this is what the show's all about, is have you ever been interrupted, and how did you overcome that interruption?
And
I just want to, before, as you think about that, I want to let you know that, you know, when we started this show, you were our first episode. And so we had a great conversation about interrupting, being interrupted. Okay. But it's been fascinating in the almost 200 episodes that we've been doing, how everyone comes to this question in a different way. And I've even had some people flip it around on me, and then I have to flip it back on them. So it's a very interesting question. So I give that to you just because some reference, but please share if you would.
I mean, I think there's a lot of ways to think about interruption. Are you you had a plan and you interrupted yourself in your plan, or or the situation got interrupted? I mean, I would say everybody got interrupted by COVID, and how we each dealt with COVID, and we're still dealing with, 5 of my people have COVID right now. They don't even live in the same state. I mean, it's just, it's not leaving us. But, you know, how you dealt with it, and what's the interruption, and how do you deal with an interruption? So that's one way to think about it, interrupting in a plan. Another way is to think about it, you know, someone talks over you or interrupts your thought or doesn't let you finish your thought. And I don't know anybody, no matter who you are, who hasn't had some interruption, particularly with COVID, or they had a plan and it didn't come to true, because most plans don't. A plan is the ideal. Here's what, if nothing gets in our way, we want to be at this destination by this time. Every day something gets in our way, right? Every day gets something in our way. So I'm interrupted all the time. And it depends on what kind of interruption it is and how I respond. I'm in a position in my career and in my position in my company where I don't get interrupted very often. But now I feel like my job is to help other people not interrupt people. Or to bring it back. So if I'm in a meeting, and this sometimes happens, this happened like 3 weeks ago. I was in a meeting with a new group of people doing some work. And there was one man who just kept interrupting all the women. And I called a break in the, let's take a bio break. And I took him outside to bio him. No kidding. I said, you know, this person spoke, and you interrupted her, and that person spoke, and you interrupted her, and this person spoke, and you interrupted her. And I said, are you aware that you're only interrupting the women? And he was like, oh my God, I had no idea. I'm like, so yes, please be aware that you're only interrupting the women in the group. And I'm not going to allow it anymore. I'm going to stop you. And I decided to do it privately and supposed to, I didn't know him very well, but I operate from let's assume people are trying to do their best position. That's what I try to do. But in other cases, I have not. I've been like, let's just go back. So Linda, let's pick up on Linda's point. And Joe, you can be quiet. I mean, because I can do that now. Like earlier in my career, I couldn't have done it, right?
Right.
That way. But I always try to, if someone, regardless of who it is, gets interrupted by anybody else, including myself, because try to say, I apologize, Linda, finish your thought. I write down my thought so I don't lose it. And Linda, and then I ask other people, does anybody else have a response or add-ons to what Linda was saying? Before, when I so rudely interrupted, I was thinking this, you know, I put myself at the end, but it's constant. I constantly have to do it for myself. So try to be someone else's ally on that. And then the other piece on interruption, if your life is interrupted, sometimes you don't notice it, or sometimes you push forward, and we all know these people, like they're acting as if nothing changed, but they lost an arm. Like what? you know? So I have an accountability group who, you know, a group of people who, I'm in two different groups. One's a CEO peer group, another is a mastermind group. And that's where we all bring our situations and we're called into account, because it's, as a CEO, there are very few people who will call you on it. Right.
Right. Right.
So I intentionally put myself in the situation so I can be called on my own shit.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's great. Oh, it has been so much fun talking to you. Oh, I've just loved it, and such insight. So if folks want to reach out to you, connect with you, learn more about Double Forte, what's the best way to?
I'm really easy to find. LinkedIn is Lee Carraher. On Double Forte is double-forte.com, LeeCarraher.com, C-A-R-A-H-E-R, LCarraher@double-forte.com. I respond to all my emails eventually. I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. Well, it has been so much fun to visit with you. So I guess what would be your last thought that you would love to leave with everyone?
I would say, for interruptions, learn which ones are things you should jump on and things you should jump from.
Ooh, I love that. Jump on or jump from. That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks again, Lee, for joining me today. It was awesome.
Thanks so much, Linda.
Wasn't that fun visiting with Lee? She gave us so much great information. I hope you took notes. And if you didn't, be sure to check the show notes. Also, check out the book that she mentioned as well. And her book is phenomenal, as I mentioned in the intro of her. I loved her insight, and I love that process that she suggested with regard to creating that inclusive, dynamic work environment. It has been so much fun bringing you this content, and it was very reminiscent to start out with, to think about having Lee be one of, I think she's my very first guest, to then where we are now. So that was really fun. And if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. And also, we'd love for you to give us a rating review. If you do that, that would help others looking for leadership tips and guidance, and that would help our show come up to the top so they can find it. Last but not least, I want to encourage you that you have strengths waiting to uncover, possibilities to realize, so that you can accomplish not just your goals, but your dreams. For I truly know that with God, nothing is impossible. Have a great week, everyone. Take care, y'all.